Well, what I was thinking of is, could we say a committee selected by the committee or something like this? I don't know how we can select a committee of some of these people without asking.
We're into a few mechanic problems here of how this might work. I think someone ought to comment on this first, before we ask Don first. No, pardon me, Bill was first.
I thought we had taken care of this motion a long time ago, or this suggestion. I think that we as a board would make a very, very severe mistake to delegate any responsibility here from the executive director to some individual. I think it's his prerogative to delegate this, not ours. I think we undermine his leadership here if we were to propose such a motion.
This is not done without clearing it with him first as to whether.
Well, I mean, this is his business, who he works with. I think that you're undercutting your staff when you. And I thought that we took care of that this morning.
Don?
Well, I think what Herb is searching for here is trying to have someone take charge of this matter, and I think that's admirable. However, I think that this is too blanket a delegation. You may get an intern that might have many fine qualities, but he doesn't have any qualities in the publicity handling. And I think that, again, that with Peel, that it's staff. If Henderly thinks that this particular intern would handle that job fine, then let him do it. But I don't think we should tie his hands to that.
Anyone else on this thought? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, a while ago, before dinner, Chuck with Carol said that. Summertime, we wouldn't have it in wintertime.
We have a sauna, and that takes care of it.
Well, I'm just wondering if there is some way in which Carol can be relieved to do as well in the future the things he is doing. Obviously, he has gifts in the line of publicity, public relations, but this may be the straw that breaks his back. I'm just wondering how you feel about this extra. Would it be harder to delegate this to somebody else? You supervise it, or would it be easier to do it yourself?
Well, it will depend, of course. I mean, this in grammar is called proleptic. You are discussing an issue before it meets you because we haven't voted on an intern yet, whether we'll have one. But it would depend on whether we vote for one and whom it might be and what his gifts are. As far as that's concerned, this is true. At the same time, it has a certain appeal because, as Herb knows, there's a certain amount of interference in the summer situation that we don't want here, that it could be rather disastrous in the village operation itself and get too many extra things outside of what you have to do while you're here. And that's what he was thinking. He was thinking this in terms of health.
But back again to the question, isn't this an ongoing problem? Will this ever let up?
No.
Won't this become heavier and heavier and the interim changes every year? Maybe we can't afford to be without a salary at the public relations man.
This is what we certainly hope eventually, that we have enough financial structure to actually implement the village as we originally planned.
But when you think of all those areas of publicity that you have on page 2, exhibit A, this is one more than one job, it seems to me, already. In turn, this one may be capable, the next one won't be, then how about next year? Maybe the time hasn't arrived and we can put a man on full time.
Well, there's some other facts that are coming out relative to maintaining a maximum or a theoretical, no, I shouldn't say maximum, but a level of operation of in terms of number of participants in the village, and we're quite close to it a couple of weeks this year, which indicates that if publicity has been a problem in the past, it certainly isn't reflected in the number of people that came to the village. Few different occasions. But we're getting there very quickly in terms of filling the place up for a workable group. And maybe you'll feel differently when you hear how.
I read this, but if we lose our director the next year or two because of an overload in this area, it'd be tough to be on a board that doesn't take care of it in due time. don't know how he feels about it. It might be more painful to delegate to somebody else.
No, we've had a good deal of conversation about this in the executive committee, one where Elmer Wood was present. And obviously, we're well aware of this fact, that the time allocation is a maximum. One, we knew this when we started this kind of an operation. We felt it was necessary. And we're all aware that this is a temporary situation. We hoped a two-year period when we discussed it when we first started it. And that 2 years, of course, is up. But we still aren't out of the woods financially because pictures are changing there again. So we're left, I think, where we will have to just simply accept it. As your days are, so shall your strength be, you know. And it's one of the wonderful things here in this operation is you who've been here know is that before you know the gaps are there, somebody's filled it. This is a terrific thing. And the way everyone of you who are involved here, who've been in here, have functioned not only in your role, but in other roles while you're here, has been a very cheering and encouraging thing. And I think this will keep on. I have no apprehensions whatsoever. This is where Berge had his apprehensions and why he turned down the call, was because he was sure, for instance, we wouldn't get the volunteer help, so on, but we have no apprehensions here, really. But it is true that there is a law of decreasing returns in this situation where one person will not be able to function and enrich your program in all areas, as your comprehensive plan very specifically states. And this we'll have to watch. I won't be the best judge on this. You fellows will be.
I think if Kara were to ask for help, I think the board would be immediately able and willing to give it to him in this area. And go ahead.
Well, I didn't turn out to be misunderstood as undermining anybody on the staff. The board that I work for, and I think some of the other boards, make pretty specific recommendations to directors as to what people should do on their staffs, and this isn't particularly taken as a directive. I mean, we made up job descriptions, for instance. Carol is still ultimately responsible, but we have talked about this since the beginning board meeting of finally, someday, getting somebody who would take charge of this area. And I have a feeling if we don't take now, maybe the intern is not the person. Maybe we just have to say that Carol has given authority to appoint someone. And maybe he feels that maybe he assigns some other job to the intern and he takes this one. But I think there's got to be somebody put on this whole promotion thing, because we have a lot of things that I personally happen to think are unfortunate, but that's just personal opinion by not doing it. I don't think this is a slur at Carol or anything else, and I don't think it's unusual for boards to make this kind of a recommendation that a specific man do a specific task.
Bill, I think.
Well, I hope you don't misinterpret the comment that I make. I think that the good Lord is going to provide men for the task, and I think this is Carol using his own good head that he's going to take these people and put them to work, so to speak. I also think that funds are going to become available, and we're going to be ready as a board to invest money in certain specialty areas that we have here. I was speaking against Herb's original motion in that the motion as stated said that we would put this in the hands of an intern. We don't know who this intern is. We don't know his talents. So don't misinterpret me. I feel that we've got a man here. We've called him to do the job. He's got to make the decisions in this area. If he's foolish enough not to get people working at him and works himself to death, maybe this is a good Lord's way of getting another executive director diplomatically. But I think this is his decision to make. And I think this is the way it kind of ought to be.
All right, anyone else? Dr. Stein, would you like to comment any further? Well, if there are no others on this, I guess we'll say that we discussed for 15 minutes the public relations.
Mr. Chairman, there was a motion, it's just discussion. Okay.
It's discussion. Would you like to speak?
I'd like to. I don't know. I kind of hate to see the thing just left hang without anything happening. Could we suggest that our director work toward the possibility of giving this over to an individual who would work with a committee for professional advice and give him that directive And then if the intern would happen to fit into this program, or if he can see in his administration any other way to work it in this way.
I think we felt that his job description already gave him that latitude, and maybe motion in this area wouldn't be necessary.
Okay.
However, it's up to you as a board whether you'd like to go any farther with this.
And they say now this Dick Wilson's entered the picture, as he mentioned. Bill Olson was in before, but Bill's been so busy he hasn't been able to do anything.
Well, he's an artist, he's not bad.
And this is part of the problem there. Herb gave me, certainly Yeoman helped this one here, but like Herb said, it just got to be the last thing on the agenda for him, and so it was a chore that got to be sort of the tail end of his duties. And I think someone certainly who can spare the time and do the job would be wonderful if he has the gift. And we would contact Wilson on this at once.
Okay, may we move on to number six, which involves the intern we talked about already.
Pretty well covered that discussion.
The picture here on the intern, let's just say it briefly, is this fact that here's a person who's failed who has a gift. The difficulty is that he is ALC thinking. Again, it's a matter of patchwork. I mean, this is an intern for a brief period. And his value to us, of course, is not as great as if he were a staff man doing this kind of a task for us on a permanent basis. At the same time, you have Daryl's report here, which you can look at it as here. It's a delightful report that he's done for the bonds here. And there's no question about him being involved and working, which is one of the fears of the board that we had, a person who was more immature. Of course, Daryl was a professional in this area and did a professional job for us. And I'm confident that Don has the gifts and will be able to do an excellent job. What I don't believe is very possible, and that is that we get him. I mean, it's a different relationship entirely to the seminary at Dubuque, where he is a student, and the seminary in St. Paul, where I've been on the faculty, where I was on the internship committee. So there was no sweat at all. I had the knowledge before I presented it to you that we would get him if you were willing. This time, I don't have this. And there was no point in trying to even get it until we had to leave you to the board motion if you wanted this kind of a task done by this kind of person. Well, a budget is made up to include this expenditure.
How much?
And I think it is a reasonable kind of an approach to our particular problem at this moment.
Somebody asked how much. Werner, I think, can answer.
Well, the budget proposed for 66 includes only a third, or $2,500 was put in the budget for 1966. They would not be coming on paid staff until September of 66. So it would be those 3-4 months, actually.
So you're talking in terms in of what, $600 a month?
Well, it's pretty variable. I mean, there are certain factors. It could range anywhere from $5,500, which Daryl cost or was involved in, probably to a maximum of what?
Yeah. 7, I thought. Yeah. See, if you read Daryl's report, you'll realize that a lot of his overhead was cared for by the way in which he was able to reside with members of the board, Max Milhoff, for instance, Stan Thompson in Seattle, and Mrs. Fern Olson in Spokane. In these major areas where he served us, it didn't cost us anything for his keep. And this was one of the things which I knew when we got him would happen, as I could tell you. Our proposal has the possibility here to cut overhead with Don and Dottie is that I believe that we can get the vehicle that they would need to live in with a minimum cost, perhaps as a gift for that period of time. We do have men who are the man in charge of airflow for Oregon is a very close friend, and they're a good friend of the village as well. And I think this is a possibility. And also, Harvey's folks have a bus that they've made into a vehicle for year round. There's the possibility here of being able to get that for them. So that this is what we would hope if we were to get them, that something like this would open up and cut the overhead. So they'd have the place to live in, and they would have their salary, and then it would be a matter of allocating expenses, running the vehicle, this sort of thing. So it may not operate it too much more than what we had Daryl for.
Salary wise, aside from living and transportation, is what do you estimate?
The salary will be the same as is set by the church generally for the intern.
Which is?
$3,000.
For 12 months.
For the 12 months.
Where is it?
Lunder?
I have a question.
Well, where's your budget, what page?
28. Question, Pastor Hinderly, and that is concerning the person, Don here. Would it be possible to not, for us, not to say this should be the individual, but rather that there may be someone that's better qualified, more of a professional man like Darrell was, from another seminary, possibly, if a careful investigation or more investigation could be made. I'm questioning whether or not we as a board should put the name down at this point, but that we should rather give you the authority to call someone in connection with the executive committee at this point, because it seems to me there might be somebody who is better qualified than this individual.
Well, let's just say to this that it would be hard for me to imagine such a person at this moment, simply because Don is so well informed as to the village and has such a very smooth way of dealing with people. It's the same gift here that Darrell does. He doesn't have the fair-haired boy, single guy complex that attracts the female young adult, but he does have a very small personal relationship with people. Right, Karen?
Go ahead. But I think Lunder's point is that if you ran into a roadblock in Wartburg, you would be free to go to another seminary and get a person.
Oh, yes, this is possible. This is right. Especially, for instance, if Elmer or Larry should have a man on their own team or in their own organization that they believe would be just the fellow to suit the bill, nothing could make us happier. Yeah.
I agree on your evaluation of Don. He's been here 2 years, and he's an outstanding person. But you recognize that you may not get him. You've said that already. And I would hope that we might be able to get someone.
I would say this would be very smart. If you want an intern, now, as I say, I set this up because I thought we might have to go for bus next year, you see, if we're necessary. Now, I no longer have this intention. Larry certainly has comforted me here at this point. I think that we'll find other resources to make up for whatever we need to withdraw on the youth department and the ALC's contribution. So I'm not in any sweat on this thing. I think that this would be a joint operation of the three groups and continue to be. I thought, well, if ALC's got to go it alone, but we really got to dig strong then into those areas in ALC which haven't responded and to which Don does have access.
And one of our people has asked me to bring up this point. To what extent did you contact the other youth Missouri Senate people for possible interns?
No, this has not been done.
This has not been done.
No, this simply came up, as I said in this note on it in my report, that I became aware that Don was willing to do this. And this takes a certain kind of willingness to live a gypsy life. Yeah. And the fact that he was willing to do it then at once opened up this possibility, and that's why it's come to me. Not because I decided that it should be an ALC man or anything of the kind. It just happened to be that he was informed, he's got the ability, and he's available. But somebody like Chuck Sauer, I talked to Elmer Witt about, of course, after his first summer here, and Elmer said simply he couldn't spare it. That's the only other point of contact I've made.
What's your predecessor?
Does anybody else want to talk about this? Lunder brings up a point here that's quite interesting.
You do him.
He's saying maybe we should give him authority to pick up who he sees fit rather than naming the man here since he hasn't accepted it yet. Bill?
No, I think that's, I would speak on that suggestion. I think that's a wise decision. You do have one practical problem. If you're talking about paying a man, it's basically $3,000. He's on kind of a starvation budget. This man is married, could have children, and this, I think, could really put the crimps on this. This traveling with a child or something could be a real problem for you. Now he's put a little fancy here.
This is right. I mean, all this is in this.
So there is real variables here in that I think you're going to play a lot of this by ear.
I move that we increase his salary $20 a month for the pills. We get them wholesale, but I don't know.
It costs $20 a month. Anyone else want to speak on this? The intern question. Joe?
Mr. Chairman?
Lunder?
Would it be well for us then to change the statement to say, move that an intern be called for the village in 1966 to 67, and director contact authorities responsible for such appointments. Just change those words. Would that be in order at this point?
Let Carol answer that, please.
This is fine.
Okay. Yeah, this is fine. Okay, I'll make that a motion. Instead of putting Don there, that an intern be called for the village. That's the motion.
Would you be open? Carol, would you want the authority of the backing of the executive committee?
This is what I was just thinking about.
If we could say the executive director and the executive committee of the board be authorized to do this, then Carol would have the support.
The little leverage on the seminary faculty.
Yes.
I would include that in the motion.
That would include everyone, too, in terms of
this the last one. Let's see.
I don't know the rules of the internship and the other two bodies, for example. We have had a great deal of leeway in ours, and that's why I could get him for this kind of specific purpose. Actually, the internship should train a man to be a better parish pastor.
That's the position of the OCA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is why it might not fit in Missouri too well, but still, Bill?
Well, there are some other possibilities, it seems, other than those in seminary training. For instance, one thing that comes to my mind might be somebody out of Valpo in the youth leadership training. They have an intern.
Too young, though, Bill. They are too young. I think you need somebody who's had enough time in theological training so that the pastors do open their doors for him.
How to drop out situation.
Now, of course, Daryl is older. Don, too, is older.
A couple.
And this helps a little bit in the leverage, no question about it. Now, Daryl got open doors everywhere, but as he says in his report, there's a difference between enthusiasts who respond to open doors and guys signing the dotted line. And he makes it quite clear in his report that the signing up was another thing. And this will be true for all of us. Actually, we are extremely grateful. This one area, which I didn't mention specifically, but Spokane, which has been a backbreaker for us, but we just haven't been able to break it, is now breaking for us. In fact, there's a good deal of Spokane money right in this building right here, which we are very grateful for. And a year ago, this wasn't so. We just didn't get anywhere. Again and again, we didn't get anywhere. And I followed up on all Daryl's contacts again myself, thinking I could nail these guys down. And we didn't. So it's just come through the summer, actually. But it takes a while. There's a delayed action.
Do you think the job is more effective done by an intern? I mean, it felt like...
Well, with young adults, there's a great deal to be said, yes, that I think it could be more effective. With Daryl, of course, he had this tremendous know-how with people, and there was no riches at any point, actually with any kind of person. And I think this will be as true for Don.
Well, getting into some of the other churches is the other thing that we're, of course, shooting at. Yeah. You think this fellow would do a good job in that area, is that right? I don't know him at all.
No, he is. Yes, he would. I mean, he'd be very acceptable in both LCA and in ALC. He's really a personable fellow all the way through with a good deal of dignity. And he'd explain. I mean, you have confidence in him. You've been up here when he was here, I think. You were here when he was here, weren't you, Larry? He wasn't up here yet anymore.
Lunder's motion has been recorded, I guess, and can be read now. Would somebody like to have that reread, perhaps?
You like a drink of
cookie.
If she reads it, she won't be able to read it a second time.
Move that an intern be called for the village in 1966-67, and the director, together with the executive committee, contact the authorities responsible for such an appointment.
Anyone want to question who the authorities are?
Did you want the... Is that the way you wanted it worded?
A director and executive committee.
She said that.
We're just following the words here. Maybe the last line there should be changed.
You'd rather say the director in consultation.
Bill?
I have another point other than this concerning the motion and its intent.
This point is on... The point that's on the floor now is whether it should be written as it is, I take it. Is that right?
Excuse me.
If we we have no other questions or no other comments, go ahead, Bill.
Well, this is a short time to think it through, but I really can't buy this either intern or vicar, particularly from the theological viewpoint for this kind of operation. I would really favor a layperson. And it's possible that by adding a couple of $1,000s to the commitment, somebody that might serve a long time with a little bit of searching. Because as somebody said, Carol said, this is a patchwork approach. Because certainly the commitment is 1 year. And I can't see why a heads-up layman couldn't handle this. Even if you had to give him a little training, and if he's around Carol very long, he's going to get a little training. Theological background, this kind of thing.
No, I can see this for
me. So I wondered how broad it could be. And besides the witness that we're not drawing from seminary, that it is a layperson, is an important factor here.
Go ahead.
This brings up the question of how valuable would this year be for the man who serves? Perhaps only Carol could handle.
Well, reading Darrell's report, he analyzes this for you and summarizes.
I don't have his report.
It's underneath. Is there summarizing it more?
Wait now.
Oh, this
one. He sums this up very delightfully. It was just what I thought of. I mean, this association with the three church bodies itself is a tremendous background and full factor for whoever's involved in it. This might be a thrilling thing.
He was at our Walthley convention, and I got to know him there, and it was a real pleasure. We had some good chats, and he did an excellent job.
Martin?
Yeah, I like Sonberg's idea here, because a person in my office, I figure, is not really contributing a lot the first half year. It takes a while before they get the orientation to the point of where they can be creative. And I could see a person being in this office for 1 year would establish contacts and get insights and then take some all away with him, and someone else coming new starts all over. And if you put a little bit more into the person and you'd have continuity, you'd have someone start to carry the load for you, Carol, the second year, and you wouldn't have to start all over again.
Bill?
Another thought crept in here, and Larry may be, have more fresh information, but as I understand it, the youth directors have talked about this matter of when does Holden Village begin to help other people who want to do this kind of thing in other parts of the country. Now it seems to me that between two staff people, you know, quality staff people, that's a much closer goal than somebody coming year after year and starting from scratch and training. There are places, for instance, from our background is, we'll say, Camp Arcadia, where we have property. And this is, you know, a little bit up in the air as to its future. We're doing some things about it.
Paul has been here this week.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that as this group grows up, we should certainly consider how we can spread around information and helpfulness come out of this experience.
This is specifically, I think, a possible ministry that we all anticipate will be asked of us even, and it may be closer than we think because things happen so quickly. It's one of the problems of our having fellows in here like Frank Gamelin, who have a little leverage and gets excited and sees this in the potential in his own area. He is really warm. It's there, and of course I've been pushing evangelism in both LCA and in ours to actually think in terms of some specific points of approach from the point of view of property and place. And also I'll admit I've had a conference with Dorothy Hayes because I think there's a tremendous need just for retreats for pastors' wives with medical competent medical help in connection with it. And this too, but to what extent are we going to get involved in this? Woo, yeah. You know, we are youth boards operating here already over our head, and which will come in when we're discussing purpose, and this is a problem. We can do this, surely, individually, but for us to do it collectively in terms of a budget, a man, then we simply have to ask the synods to take another look at this. Bill Lazarus felt that they should, and that LACUSA should take this. This is his feeling, that it should be its pilot project, because there's no question about it, this won't be the only one, by any means, and near future, but how near, I wouldn't say when. But it's something, we start out with a property like this. Just this layout is enough to bust most of the retreats that start.
Could we ask Werner to dig up how much we actually have in the budget for a salary for an intern in the 1966 year?
$2,500.
$2,500, right?
That's listed under public relations. In both salary and travel, that's the only thing it's listed under on page 28. $1,500 in salaries for public relations and $1,000 in travel expenses.
Well, it would be for the next year's budget, 67, so we complete that. This is just the 4 months of...
Eight months of it would be in 67.
It wouldn't start until, in other words, nothing would be done in terms of this fellow's activity until next fall sometime. And Carol and Werner would carry the ball up until that time. I want to clarify one more thing. If you were to define this man by some other name other than intern, what would you call him?
We called Darrell in our official materials and in a card that we have printed for him, field representative.
Mr. Chairman, it seems to me at this point that what has been spoken by Bill and others, that is well taken. There is a question that comes to me. Since Don is already on the scene, it may be possible that we'll have to have an intern for the coming year, but it could happen that he'd find a young man who could fit this very well. For that reason, it seems to me that point number six should be changed completely from saying an intern to a field representative. And if it is Don, okay. If it's somebody else, that's fine. And we'd keep it out of the realm of internship entirely.
Don first, and then Herb.
The other thought I have along with this line, because I think sooner or later we're going to come to grips with the very thing that you talk about. This turnover just drives you out of your head after a while. And secondly, is along the same line, if we got a real good public relations man who had a knack for the production of publicity materials and so forth, these two, because after all, he's doing this when he's going out visiting, he might also do it when he is in the office handling and the producing of some of the content and the materials, and thereby make a real productive man out of him. If he's not on the road, he's back in the office, but he's working on some of these publicity materials.
Herb?
My only suggestion here was if we were going to broaden this, the thought of this $5,500 to $7,000 figure, and the fact that the possibilities were here that maybe for the $7,000 figure, maybe for another $3,000 for travel, we could be adding another staff in. But I think if we're going to make the suggestion, the board would either give some direction to our director or the executive committee as to where we feel this item of budget should go. I mean, I can imagine if we really got a public relations person of any ability at all, you're going to have to be paying more than $7,000 a year.
Does the motion give that latitude? And would you like
to
change
it? Well, maybe there should be some specific thing in there, otherwise so the budget people know what to do.
Elder?
I would say, it seems to me this motion would take care of granting the permission and we approve the budget. This is going to give the allowance on how much money we have to spend.
Are you suggesting we put money on this too?
No, I'm suggesting that I would feel we go ahead and grant the authority to get a field representative, and then when we approve the budget, which will come up later on.
Don was first, then Bill.
Well, I just have another question to ask Carol. Now, after, and Jack mentioned that, you know, that there were a couple times when we were at approximate capacity of the village. How do you see this? Do you feel that that it's essential that we have somebody in this particular area to, over the long pull here, for the handling of these promotional materials and being out in the field, visiting in congregations and meeting in Walter Leaf meetings or what have you?
Contacting with other things. You see, now, like Bill mentioned, this possibility of other places for retreat. Now, that will both help us. I mean, because you know, no question about it, you have two or three moving in the same area. It's going to help us. Like in the town, this will boost us immediately. and then we are no longer something far off the white elephant and so on. Now, we aren't that anymore in ELC. We still got to prove that elsewhere, and Larry's going to take us over for LCA, and I think it will come fairly fast from Missouri. But it's obvious that we're going to, I mean, just people going off from here are going to pull in others. Two states that are in our first five are Oregon and California. And I've done work on Oregon, but we've done none in California. And California's come just on its own.
See, Bill and then Merton, if you don't mind.
Well, from an administrative standpoint, it seems like we have to come to grips, or someone does here, with the idea of whether you're going to line out a job description and find a person to fit the job, or whether, as was indicated here, we name a person and then try to fit the person into the job to be done. And frankly, I like the freedom of deciding what you want to do and then finding the person. Now, you can always have, you know, a little tempered adjustment there, but it seems to me that that really should be plotted out first.
Merton? I withdraw.
I personally still think that perhaps our number one need in any kind of a pull here, your comprehensive plan, of course, pulls that. Two, you've got to have a plant engineer, and this you don't have. And this simply has to be here. We just are going to have to wrestle with that one next summer, very realistically. We've got Walt Olson as a free volunteer for a year that's saving us that sweat at this board meeting. But there you've got, I mean, you just don't have a choice, frankly. You don't have a choice. Then I don't think you have a choice either in this long pull. I would, next summer, okay, still we can sweat this out, but unless the youth departments can be a little bit more free in their allocation of staff time with adequate people here to handle some of the operational pileup that we have here in terms of people in need who need help. A fellow like Paul Hain took a lot of the load off my shoulders this summer, for example, or I wouldn't have gotten to bed more than the two nights that I didn't, you know, really, because he took a good many of these things. Now, this may be fortunate again, the kind of people we have on our staff, help at this point, faculty, and so on. But there is, in this kind of a situation, some critical counseling necessary at times. Now, our first year, we paid a large sum of money for Armin Grams and for Fritz Norsted, and we even planned to have Lyle Westberg in on this thing. So we were having three fellows in this area the first summer, indicating that you had anticipated that there'd be a number of people here in need of this kind of help. Now, Merton Strumman obviously is such a man, and he's giving us this time and will again next year. And this is a tremendous asset here at this point. But as you all know, it's a story like in the parish and so on. And it isn't just Parkinson's law. And that is that the more of these people you have around, the more demand there is for them again, too. So you're piling it up, you see. But I think a plant engineer and somebody involving the people, attracting them, someone who's open to them, who do need help here, and we need more than just a little chat on a bench, you know. These two things we're going to have to face the next board meeting. Plant engineer is absolutely basic, and with the increase in the number of people coming here, this refuge problem increased. Frankly, the pastors who sent these people up here have had a great deal of confidence in us, and I'm just amazed at what happened. But somebody like Fritz Norsted around would sure have been a big help.
We're on a little different subject.
You know, this is where you're thinking of staff, you see.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking of a perma-staff manager for promotion. And I would say in the priority thing, this does not stand as high to me as either a plant engineer, which you've got to have, and someone here who assists in this ministry of the village itself.
Where?
And no matter how poor our promotion perhaps has been in the past, it's still a fact that within 5 years we're almost at capacity.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what, I mean, promotion is necessary so that more people know about it, but still we are very close to capacity on an average daily basis.
Without a rather large capital expenditure to,
yeah,
you know, put us into another capacity bracket. Yeah. Bill?
Just the capacity is one part of a criteria. The other is balance, you know, and meeting needs and this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want to miss that side.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is where our concern is on this intern.
Right.
Exactly.
Promoting the Holden Association is the other side, which in a way, as a fund-gathering thing. So Daryl did some work in this area. He must admit that quite a few of the funds that came in were a result of his calls to support the village. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the motion that was made before was in second. Let me start with a new one. Move that the field representative be called for the village. Also that the director and executive committee be authorized to make proper choices and work out the job description.
Budget.
And budget.
Martin?
Would you like to speak? Well, I might as well at least present the idea. The young adults had wondered if there was a young adult representative in each of the three synodical youth offices. And I wasn't sure, but I think you have someone with that portfolio, do you not?
Yes.
And ALC, somebody? Now, one, if a field representative were selected, and I think what Carol suggests puts a field representative certainly not number one priority, but if one were chosen, he might be able to represent the youth offices in young adult work by virtue of moving around, and in a sense could combine two hats. This was a thing I've been mulling over in my mind, but I think the stronger would be if at our next board meeting we actually came in with a proposal of what would be the anticipated staff needs in terms of priority with job descriptions, so that we actually saw which way we're going.
So that if an intern would tide it over for a year, that would be perfectly in order, if they should feel that way.
Yeah.
That is, if this motion goes through.
But I can see where you don't need a, you may not need a field representative when you got almost capacity intake here now.
It also, this positive comes just at this moment off the cuff of what it's worth since we're speaking this way, and that is that I could even see a person as a plant engineer who might also be functioning in this other area. Now, you may think this is a crazy combination, but it isn't. Max Orlov, who is LCA, who's here right now with, on the brink of his PhD degree from Harvard and with Boeing, could function as a plant engineer, I think, and as this representative. This could be possible, because we're not opening up a winter program in the foreseeable future under the present complication. No, this is just off the cuff. This is not an impossible thing. This may be what we'll end up at, because, well, I'm three guys now. It's possible it could be two. No.
All right, go ahead, Murray.
And if you get a person of this caliber, then the individual could go to one of the 2,500 foundations, which still represents a possibility.
We've had two so far that have been cordial. We will get a gift person to Mr. Hodges of the Hodges Foundation in the first of the year. It won't be large, but he gives only to Episcopalian Ventures, but he knows the village, he knows what we've been up against. He's the treasurer of the diocese for Episcopalian Church in Washington himself. And then another foundation may still be able to let us have a little at the end of the year, which is breaking up. This is a possibility. Most of these are cold. I mean, the ones that are warm to you will not warm to us, because I've tried them.
Lunder and then Herb, if Merton is finished. Yeah.
I'd like to ask, would it be better if we had another name instead of field representative, therefore?
Next turn, maybe? Herb?
The only thing the original idea, like that came out of the idea, you sort of saw a need for this intern as a field representative, but I thought that was one of the pressing needs. Then we got into a plant manager, and it seems to me, I don't feel confident right now to vote on this motion either way. I mean, because I'm not quite sure what we're looking for. Maybe this is something that has to be recruited to the personnel committee and to the executive committee staff. Because I'm not, I mean, I get 1 minute sort of we need a field representative, but the next minute we need a plant manager.
I'm sorry for confusing you here, but this is simply in the situation which we all know and who are operating with it, and I didn't realize I was talking about anything new here.
No, but if we're going to have a plant manager, then maybe we should be able to consider an intern. I don't know.
Maybe this is a little more aggressive. Well, who's most familiar with our dilemma here? No doubt Carol is. Yes. What would you recommend we do here?
Well, as I say, I felt that when I presented this position originally, since this came in and the possibility of getting Don was there, there's no question about us doing the task, doing it well, to your satisfaction. I have no doubt about this whatsoever. I felt that we've got to go for broke and get out and get hold of the areas in our church which haven't gotten behind us in the ALC, not least. Because there's money there, and there are people there, both. Texas is a real territory to develop, and Ohio also. And we've gotten some funds from both, but they've just been the beginning. And they've been by letter, actually. And there's a lot more. I think a field representative is right, as you hinted at, you're with Darrell. He pays for himself. He doesn't pay for himself that year, but he pays himself in a very few years because his gifts continue. And with Darrell, with his very soft cell and with his own psychological kind of block on being able to close a deal, he just couldn't close a deal. This is why you'll never get married. I mean, this is me. It just is. And this is part of his charm. And this is one reason why I think the door is open everywhere. Nobody was too worried, you know.
Martin wants to speak on it.
Say, Carol, you know the four job descriptions that this board worked through with considerable care.
Yes.
The attempt here was to delineate what was seen as the task for leadership and the areas of responsibility that were needed. What is your opinion of these four areas?
Well, as I still say, I occupy actually 2.5 of them, and
right.
and Carol 1.5 of them.
Yeah.
And I still think it was reasonable, and it was a sane approach. And I still think that this is what eventually you will have. Because there was nothing in there that was at all on cloud nine. I mean, this was done carefully and with a great deal of thoughtfulness, and Elmer Wood wrote them up in their final form. And we've gone through them again this year in the executive committee with some care. And this is where this came up again, the fact that there's just... there's an overall coverage here which demands too much of one man unless he has the kind of resources which I came to this job. And the question is, how long will those resources last? Really, this is sort of the executive committee's question. And one, we need to kind of supplant some assistance in this other area. But we're willing to admit the facts of life are such at this moment we don't think it's realistic to think of a full-time man with qualifications that would demand that the type of salary he deserved at this hour, and I think this is why we are arguing around a circle at this point.
Right.
The only possibility I see at this moment is this field man. I think he'll pay for himself, just as Darrell did, and I am not worried about that one bit. The thought simply that I throw you here is that all the motivation that I had in putting him down here is not the same here now, and I'm not going to be having in any way my head down if you don't vote for this, you see.
Our motion gives the executive committee and the director the ability to pick someone, and we're calling him, for lack of anything else, a field man, and he may be more or less than that. Is that true? In your opinion. And we don't have any monetary limits on the thing, I don't think. Exactly. We've talked about $2,500, but it may be a little different after you consult with the executive committee. And with this in mind, do we have a motion we could hear now?
Shall I reread the one I have?
Oh, wait a minute, we have a question ahead. Larry.
When does this board meet again?
That hasn't been decided, but it'll be next July, August, or September.
There isn't a spring meeting this year.
No, I mean, Warner won't have. Excuse me.
There could be another meeting of this board in, January.
Carol instead of you? Warner that does.
Carol, there could be a meeting of the board before next fall. But it isn't planned, is that true?
Yes. Well, a possibility that I have from Laverne is he will be here between the dates of July 8th to 20th if you wanted to buy this idea. But in our speaking about, we thought this might be a little unfeasible, and then we perhaps should keep our fall date when we can look at the whole thing like we're doing now.
Larry's question was, is there another meeting of the board before next fall?
Not planned.
Not planned.
Our Constitution demands only one such, and this is a huge expenditure.
Yes, I know it is. I was going to make a motion. I won't now. I'll throw out the idea, and if it has any merit, it might be moved. And that is that the director and the executive committee be instructed to make an examination of the personnel needs of the Holden Village Corporation and empowered to carry through on this idea of an intern for the year 66-67 and come to the next meeting of the board with a recommendation in terms of personnel needs. This would make it possible to evaluate the personnel needs
if the decision was that we wanted to hire a full-time person, then that recommendation would be discussed and acted upon at the next board meeting. If in the meantime it appeared that an intern would be a good idea for the year, you could go ahead with it. And then when we get to the budget, we'll have enough money in the budget so that the intern idea could be implemented, or even a full-time man hired next fall. It would seem to me that this would, in one motion, enable us to find out the best way to go and to enable us to do it.
Joe?
Well, I will second. Is that a motion that you're making here?
Well, I believe one's on the floor.
That's right.
There's a motion.
Second.
Yeah,
there's no second.
My motion hasn't been seconded.
I would like to suggest that to elaborate this one step more. If Missouri or LCA would perhaps sift out possible people that this could be, not the intern, but in the year following, so that it would be time to maybe take a look at these people. And that way, we could get some balance in this whole business that would probably be a good idea in terms of the person that you suggest, not making it absolute so that it couldn't move to an ASC man, but it would give some possibility of breadth and complexion. It's not a...
Well, Joe, it was my understanding that the, what do you call it, executive committee, what you call
right.
this thing, has representation from each of the church bodies. And that if a man were responsible on the executive committee, obviously he would do his homework and propose names of people he knew.
Where are we? Anyone else want to speak, I guess, on his substitute motion? Was yours a motion, by the way? Are you making a...
I may say just to this, just one thing.
Mr. Go ahead.
And that is that Max is present here this weekend. If you have any time, sit and talk to him a little. I have no idea of his thinking, except that he has some mobility with regard to his task. This I know. He's thinking that he might teach at PLU, and he's an extremely handy guy. He's got all the gifts. And you might just talk and get acquainted with Steve against next year. I certainly wouldn't be in any position to encourage him or approach him at all at this moment, but you might just get acquainted with him, since he happens to be here right now. He is an LCA layman from the former ULC background, and certainly has got all the aspects
for this task. I think Larry's asking that we define the requirements before a choice is made by the executive director and the executive committee. And is this a substitute motion?
All right.
He makes a motion. We get a second from Kent. Is there any discussion on a motion which will have to be phrased now?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it again.
So would I.
Larry, you've got the ball.
Got something.
Oh, good girl.
That the director and executive committee be instructed to make an examination of the personnel needs and empowered to carry through on the intern idea and come to the next board with an evaluation of the staff needs. And it was added that the Missouri Senate and the LCA sift out the possible people that could be used.
I have one addition.
Tom, man.
Yeah, I think you should clarify that the intern idea, if that's what you're calling it, but for the single year.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, so that this doesn't seem to be a continuing thing.
They'd have to start negotiations very soon if they wanted to get this guy.
What about bringing it to the next meeting, which is a year away? How does this, was this part of the motion?
Well, look, it seems to me that the executive committee and Carol could come in with a number of recommendations. One would be we need a what do you call this guy, engineer?
Plan engineer.
As top priority, and recommend that such a person be employed, or that such a person be employed and that we get an intern too. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of ways you could operate under this motion, or that the primary priority is that we want a promotional man and recommend that one be hired, or that we need a promotional man in a year, but in the interim we could hire this seminarian. I mean, it leaves it wide open, and yet it doesn't close the door to the possibility of the seminarian for the year. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yep.
And then at our next meeting, we'll have a concrete proposal to discuss and act upon. Carol?
This is fine. No, this is excellent. Obviously, these relationships that we've discussed, and you have your comprehensive plan, which actually is very, very excellent and hard-boiled at these points. are there, and the executive committee has the time and it has the capacity to do this easier than you do as a board, and it represents all three of you. We will have a meeting, I may say, a week from this Friday night, just to carry on for whatever you need.
I don't think this means we should reduce the budget by $2,500 for this minor item, because of what you said. I think you leave it in there.
Sure.
Obviously, leave it in. That motion is pretty clean, I guess, as it is.
Was it seconded?
Yes, there was a second. Kent seconded, and would, maybe he wants to smoke or talk, I don't know which. He'll smoke here until you're after. Anyone want to speak on the motion? Discussion on this motion, if none, we'll...
This means then there would be no intern for this school year, really, no.
That's impossible. It's too late to get it done.
Well, not for this year. No, that's right, too late this year. No, we get 15 months out of each one, leave it here. We say Daryl is coming back next summer, too, for that. Go ahead.
Motion is clear, is that true? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
We had a particular motion that was tabled for this session. But before we go on, perhaps we ought to get that taken care of.
Appreciate you reminding us. Who is going to bring that in? Joe, no. Joe and Larry.
Well, this has to do with the development of the program for the village. We were supposed to give it historical perspective, and I'm the last one on the list to serve on such a committee. And Joe and I decided that perhaps it would get very unwieldy if we tried to explain why this action was taken at this time. And so we decided maybe the best thing to do is to play it straight. So we would make this recommendation that the executive director be authorized to assume responsibility for developing the program of Holden Village in consultation with the youth departments of the three supporting churches and subject to the approval of the board, and that the executive director be instructed to develop a long-range program development plan working through the above-established channels.
Very good. Now the next thing is to get dates that all three directors get together on, and that is a minor miracle itself.
No, we get together two or three times a year. It seems to work out that the paths cross, so we just...
Could add an extra day or two. Because if we're going to work our long-range program, we don't do that between the time that the plane arrives in the morning and when Elmer has to get in the afternoon.
It is moved by Bash and Nelson, and who waits a second?
Sorry,
Connor,
the other
was in
the second.
Is this a railroad?
All right, anyone want to comment?
No question. Just one comment.
Sure.
This would also take care of any of the minor things that's happening in the village, like, for instance, mechanics weeks, or you have a group coming up in the fall to work on a particular project. That would include everything. That would be, I was thinking particularly of the emphasis we've had on a worshiping community, that's carried out no matter what's happening up here.
Fine. Any other comments? Question? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That is carried.
Against the seconding procedure. I'm for the motion.
It was a mutual move and a mutual second. Seconded by two hands.
Number eight here, in the light of the time we've taken, which has been very good and well taken, I think we don't have to spend too much time for. We can leave this actually open for this particular meeting with the executive committee, since it is meeting with this committee that you just appointed. It was 1967. The area here that we were moving into is this whole difficult one, which certainly needs grappling with by laymen and professional people together on the whole complex of power structures that frustrate all of us in this hour. Decisions made for us which are outside our control and which determine our own kind of life with our Lord Jesus Christ. This whole area that we all know living in this complex 20th century. And I just put down here a possible theme that Christ is sovereign in this. Christ has risen, the whole earth is his. And just a simple sentence here on what was involved in it. Herb has mentioned that he'd like to have more time at board meetings to discuss this, and I've given you some other outlines, and we have another mimeograph paper here on the calendar possibly for next year. But I think in the light of the time, that this, before we thought we should discuss program in detail more thoroughly here, some while back here. But I think really we could just give this over in the light of this motion to this group and allow them to continue with it. This is all right with you, except for any of you have reactions and responses, criticisms and suggestions, et cetera, which we can put in the minutes and carry forward in our own work with it. You see, we won't have to go into the program in any more detail here. You can simply move on.
I see. Well, moving on, this time would be to take up point three, which is going to be a rather long one. Herb?
Just one other comment. I didn't want to discuss programs here, particularly, but one thing that has been suggested to me by somebody, I just threw this out as a suggestion of program, as long as it's a lay center and we set up as a lay board, that even the use of more women, even in the positions of chaplain,
at the village here, you mean?
At the village would enhance the lay image. And I think we mainly into the clergy, and I think there are some women who are now at all reasons able to do what they're doing.
Okay. What plan for action did you have on this, Carol? Would you like to see us move on this later in the, or do you think it's not to be moved at all?
I would just leave it open, and we'll pick it up, because this last motion specifically will take care of this, unless you have something that you'd like to add.
No,
if they want to move out of that, if they want to take something else, we're together and move in terms of a long-range program. This is a vital area. There's no question about our concern with it, and that it fits, and following a year on celebration, it makes another kind of an accent in this life of discipleship, that's all. On the power available and the power that confuses, we have a large range of areas here, and I spelled out just a few of them suggestively. But it's a real function here. And I may say I talked this over with Rudd as to what he felt at this moment for himself. A retreat center would be most profitable confronting for the sake of 20th century discipleship. And he said, right away, power structure. Would be maybe the very first thing most any knowledgeable person would think of as being the most frustrating area for all of us.
Well, we've been sitting an hour and a half. Maybe we'd like to get up for 5 minutes or so and then get...
What time do you have? We're going to have a break at 9 for Vespers. Before that break on that 3 here, just to know what we're doing here, this is a transition over into Werner's. It's a good transitional point. Actually, we'll move over into his report, budget, and so on, isn't it? Where we have this fact just related here that
yes. We
ought to be aware of our operation. Every once in a while, people give me some considerable money. One man has given me $3,000. Said, well, this should be self-sufficient. It ought to be operating on its own. You've got to charge prices that maintain it. And I just want to point out that I don't think this is in the book. And that it would be wonderful were it so, but I don't think so. Now, that doesn't mean it couldn't happen. That there's such a demand eventually to come in here, you can charge a price that carries it, especially with volunteer help. But I think you'd defeat your purpose unless you had some cutback for scholarships and that sort of thing, if you were to do.
Well, we'll hold number three for sometime in Werner's report. Is that right, Bill?
It's fine with me.
You had your hand up for another reason, I'm sure.
No, exactly. I was wondering whether we were on three.
No, I don't think we are.
We're going to get to it. Okay.
No, we're not on number three, and we're about to adjourn at 9, which is just a few minutes away, according to my watch. And then we'll go after that into Werner's report. Is that all right with everyone? So
tonight after Vespers.
After Vespers, and Werner will...
Werner, the Vespers. Here?
Right here.
Can't skip out tonight here.
Well, we're adjourned.
Whatever you say.
Next item.
Don't lose that.
Do you want to turn it?
Where's that?
Werner, would you like to stand or something? Or?
I am standing.
Oh.
this is typical. We're used to around here. You should be here at some meeting. One thing I said in my last word of this board meeting, Jack's planning to take a week here next summer with his family.
Group.
And really, we'll give you a special rate whenever you come, so it won't cost you as much as to stay home because your car is staying down here. We'd love to have you, and it's worth coming here. If you just came here to have Werner lead the band on the 4th of July, that's one of the great days in America. Yet to have a 4th of July that wasn't something that really ought to be put over TV. I should have heard of Howard Hong's dedication of our drainage field. Well, like Bill this was classic communication. It really was. And then the 4th of July oration by Paul Hain was just a wow. And then, of course, Werner always leads the band. We have this march up. This is Saints Will March. You only know that one song. They play every kind of a thing and make formations to go back home.
Did they have
your children will never forget it. Those of you who have children, they deserve the chance to have it. Come on, stay a week. At the end of that week, Laverne will be here to hear him in action, and that's worth hearing, too. And it's a fascinating program through that whole period. We've got a dandy set up already. Wolf, for sure. He's a one-man show himself. How they all going to go together, don't ask me. We got Wolf there, and we got Conor Bergendorf, who's a model of propriety. Wolf. It's going to be a while, really. And also, very likely, in that period, is when we'll have Bill Buchanan. I don't know where they're all going to be on the program, but they'll be here. Come on up. You'll just see the kind of jamboree it is. It's the most jolly thing in the world. And like I say, I go out and I'm trying to communicate this thing. I say, well, it's not a place of intoxication. People go like this all over the place. They've been around. And it really is. And of course, you'll see it that week. So if you can get off any of those periods, you can come up here for you. We'd love to have you. And Werner will give you a price. I won't tell you what it'll be. I can tell you. I suppose you'll vary for each one as to how much you think it's worthwhile to have here. That's my way reactor's report.
We got a little high. That's right. Werner was here, too. And he has a tremendous song he sings about Purdue. And it so influenced my kids that when we drove by Purdue, I had to stop the car, let them get out and kiss the ground there. You know,
how are their kids?
And I really think that later, if the board has time, we ought to request one of the singers.
In the shed, with his dark black shirt. He's the MC for our nightclub every once in a while.
I think we have time for this, and we'll still make it.
Okay. But that's my last word.
Okay, Beanie, take off.
Another report is on page 16, and as we'll assume again that everyone read the report, there are probably just a few things that might be pointed out on the way through. We can just page through, but I'll sort of apologize for the statistics. They're by no means scientific, but they're only to show, hopefully, some trends of participation that we've had in attendance this year, and relating it also to last year. Last year was really the first year that we kept any statistics of any kind.
Yes.
Right. So this is part of the problem in making comparisons. But the percentage of participation in the numbers of the various age groups as we defined them, or the types of groups, are listed on 16, and this is a point of interest just from the standpoint of high school and younger, and the amount of family participation that we've had.
Pretty high death rate.
Pardon?
Pretty high death rate, 10.4%.
Death rate? Well, we have problems sometimes. If there are any questions on any specific part of the report, maybe you can bring them up as far as what some of the statistics mean, or you might ask how they were obtained, but I won't guarantee any answer on that. The one thing under future participation, just more or less for planning purposes, which will be related to finances later on, this year we had an average stay of 5.6 days, and if we were to assume that our average attendance, or we would hold our average attendance to 200, that we might eventually have a total paying participation of about 2,800 to 2,900 people, and then this will affect our discussion on the finances as far as what we might expect from an operational income. And I think we can point out here that unless something else happens, it will always be on a subsidy basis, as Carol points out. But This takes the attendance aspect of it, and there are just a lot of statistics here. Are there any questions on this part?
Just the question, do you want us to take, or should we take action on the comment on page 17, the second paragraph, about the number of individuals that we should accommodate or leave space for without this, reservations, is it?
Yeah, these should be passed out. These are specific motions, which... Let's see.
His question, Werner, was do you think we should take any action on the comment third line from the bottom of the second paragraph relative to the total number of people the program can effectively handle?
Yes.
Well, I think it can be discussed. I don't know if any action is necessary, really, on it. It's more for a guideline for accepting registrations than anything, because we had the problem, or not the problem, but the situation this year, which is a problem in a sense, ending up one day with 423 people and not having quite that many beds. Part of this problem was due to the fact that there are still, maybe 10%, or, well, it's a much higher percent totally than of the total here that don't send in pre-registration, so we don't know when to expect them. And if we have a high pre-registration, we can end up in a rather embarrassing situation. It worked out quite well. But I think from the standpoint of both program, which can be discussed, from the standpoint of utilizing volunteer labor force, there are limitations on how many we can effectively accommodate. And just plain from the standpoint of facilities, there is a limitation on how many we can accommodate. So all these would enter in.
Well, I was a little confused by the fact that up there it says facilities will comfortably accommodate 375, and then down under future participation it says, for the purpose of this discussion, the assumption will be made that 300 will be the maximum allowed.
Well, the 375 is how many beds we have and can accommodate. But like I said, I think we have to take in consideration the utilization of volunteer staff here. Can we really expect the staff, which we can accommodate here, to take care of 375 people continually? Or are we really overextending ourselves there and expecting more from them than we have a right to?
What is the problem here? Wouldn't you be able to add on more volunteer staff?
Well, we had averaged about 75 totally this year, which takes up a dorm and a half from just facility standpoint.
Now, you had 12 people who took care of the of serving and doing the dishes for 400 people.
Yeah.
Now, that was pressing them.
Right.
But, I mean, that that was all that you had. And if you
it was
a crew of 15 or 20, that's quite an income. That's the difference between having 300 and 375.
Well, yeah, this is right. Yeah. Well, this year, I think we pressed our staff beyond a point that we have a right to do. We, out of one corner of our mouth, say that we have to expect, or we want program participation from them. And then out of the other side, we say, let's have 375 here, which means that we work our staff to the point where either they're too tired to participate or they don't have time to participate. And it's like in the kitchen, we almost have to have a double staffing.
Yeah, I suppose that would be so.
So that we could eventually, I mean, if we wanted to accommodate this money, could have up to 20, 25 people just in the kitchen on a volunteer basis.
See, even if you have 300, you're still going to have two servings.
Right, yeah.
And that means either a double staff or people doing the same as they did this past summer, working extra long hours. So I was wondering what the criteria would be for cutting it at 300 as against 375.
Well, it's rather arbitrary in a sense. 300 would mean that there would be about 200 paying guests, plus about 100 staff. There's probably on the average of 25 faculty staff members, plus 75 volunteer student workers. So this would make 100 involved in staffing of one kind or another, plus 200 paying guests. Besides the kitchen, of course, which takes up a lot of volunteer force, you have your house cleaning, which, when done adequately, takes a good size force. This year we had three totally involved on our own summer staff, plus the crews volunteer, the work camp crews. So we had a total of 6 to 8 people involved there. And they were working
too,
both morning and afternoon, generally.
I think this is rather friendly. What do they still bring the dishes in from, that is, does the staff working bring the dishes from the tables, or? Now, there are an awful lot of places where they don't do it that way. And is there any rationale that why this remains this way, or couldn't at least quite a bit of the work be done by the guests themselves?
I think in the situation we have with the dish room, it would cause more confusion and clutter the whole. I mean, I think it would take longer to unscramble the mess caused by individuals being helpful, bringing their plates in.
I don't mean individual plates, but doing it like you do anyway, bringing them to the table. I mean, you'd save an awful lot of staff there, and they're on their hours, or their precious time. At least in a lot of places, it can be organized fairly well, and I've seen it done quite efficiently. You got to lay down the law, you know, right away, so that they know for sure how to do it. But once that's done, why?
Well, I think this is.
I just wonder if you wouldn't save yourself some real man hours there.
I don't think the. Well, I mean, we have a percentage of people clearing tables. This is true, but the bulk of the work in the kitchen is probably involved after the plates are brought to the kitchen from then on, and getting them ready for the dish machine, running through the dish machine, taking them off, resetting the tables, cleaning the dining hall.
Incidentally, though, I should mention one thing here, Werner. It's in your area, and it's not interfering, but when these passive asked me what kind of job they can do up here, I said, the one I'm doing, you can wash dishes. And those fellows are those that we need to worry least about missing out on something and keep them in there and then take the goop off of dishwashing and it gets to be something.
The only problem you have in some of that, I mean, there's, at times you can always find people to work in the dish room, but you have to have somebody that can work there continually. Because when we serve 6 meals a day, you're spending sometimes 6 hours just in the kitchen, involved in one way or another in cleaning it, in dishes and so forth.
How long do they have to work from, what are those periods? How do they clear out the kitchen and so forth after each meal?
As far as time-wise? Well, like when we have double serving or double setting, it starts at, I can't remember, well, it's 6:30 or 7:00 we have the first thing. 6:30, and then the second one at 7:30, which means you have to have 200 dishes done in between settings, plus whatever you have at the second setting, and this can go until 9 or 9:30. And then, of course, the first setting at noon is 11:30, and then this goes until 2, it can go till 3 in the afternoon, and then your evening meal, of course, starts at 5:30 and or 5 and 6. And this can go to 7:30, sometimes 8 in the evening.
That always will reach into your program time.
Yeah.
I was going to say, some of the guests, you might even, with longer periods now, begin to talk about service like we once talked about, where you do your share sometime during the time that you're here, which originally was involved. But I don't mean that they have a totally new crew doing this, but that they add themselves into
what goes on. Want to move ahead?
Excuse me.
Go ahead. Eldon?
Well, I just wanted to ask if there was any recommendation in this area that we have, because on this one page I find the figure 375, in the next paragraph 200 being a breaking point, and then down below 300.
Well, if 200 would be paying guests, the 300 would be total involved in the village.
I see. So that would really be the same figure here.
200 and 300 would be the same. The 375 is the number of beds that we have.
I see.
They're sort of independent figures.
Carol,
would you? I would say just one thing to this, and that is that I don't think the major problem is so much the matter of handling them in the terms of facilities or involving them in volunteer labor while they're here, which many of them, in fact, the majority who come here like to do something, and we can easily involve them. The problem is in what happens to them when you kind of get lost in the number. I mean, the shaft is so large, the sauna is so large, this place is so large, and the facilities that we use, I'll admit that we've lost something. Now when we had to move out of the schoolhouse and into the gym, I mean, it lost something. I wasn't able to go to the lectures particularly, but I'd come in at the tail end of them. And whenever we were able to use the schoolroom, the response that, nope, it's just impossible for a prof to get by standing up there with a passive audience. They're packed right in and on top of them, and they're on them. And this is what they want, and it's what makes it exciting. But there's a sort of an authority situation. You have this sort of larger group in the gym, and it gets much easier. One fellow talking and another gang listening. Now, my programming next year, I may finally succeed in doing what the faculties have resisted each time. None of them ever wanted double time. They all want in on everything, see? So it's one period for the whole business. I think maybe much more expert for us to really use two classrooms. And I have to buy a few chairs here, but have 60 in each classroom, so we're handing 120 that way, rather than sticking 120 into the gym, and we lose this good flavor. It's like, Vern and I have talked about this again, yet he's been in this, he said, boy, he said, he said, so long as we can make ends meet, I wish we never have more people in here, because it is, there's something wonderful about what happens to people. On the other hand, why shouldn't it happen to more people? And I think we can program so we can care for some of this, if the facilities can handle it and the others, I think we could. But our major sweat here was the fact that, like, the one gripe we've gotten is this possessiveness in the village on the part of some of the personnel. Now, these were actually laboring personnel, and I was always having to argue with some of our permanent staff through the summers. They said, well, we're working all day, we ought to get the sound. Well, you can't even get inside the door in that sound now. It's too small. We need another one, and it's sort of a very popular thing. So it's, these are where we hit some of the bottlenecks. Of course, you never take some. Just take easy, you know, my second sacrament. But it is true. These are where we hit. And it's a question of, I think, more than the number of how the constituency is made up, as I told Werner today. I think more than the numbers. If you've got 200 and they're all young couples, this is one kind of a problem. Is over against 200 and they're all families, because we've got a tremendous child care program and a terrific program all the way along that the kids get involved and are excited about. Then the number of adults, of course, is cut down to 80 or 90, you see. But if you've got all adults at 200, then you've got it. This would be my own reaction.
Herb, I think. Herb?
Well, I just wanted to ask the question on the second one, about a major project. Do they still plan, I mean, how long do you plan on having permanent staff here that will be involved in such major projects as like the drainage field and the building of the dam and so forth, which took quite a bit of your staff. And then this year,
well, we didn't have anybody to put up there. That's part of the problem.
You didn't?
No.
Well, this is the thing I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it's projects such as that that require more men, you know. But after the hydro plant is done, of course, there's no major project such as that that could easily involve volunteer labor. Of that magnitude, anyway, there are projects. But,
Joe?
I was wondering, we've never really extensively tried a further elaboration out of the lecture system of developing small group discussions rather than keeping them all in one group. I realize there's a lot of advantage in that, but you've got a lot of very able faculty people who could carry on small group discussions and maybe even you could have some rather interesting feedbacks of what different groups, just for the very nature of some of these guys, I'll get into other different kinds of discussions and playback of that would be interesting to match back and forth.
This is a very definite possibility. Very true. We have only one teacher here that's very popular at this, and that's at 4:30 reading hour. And this is brought, it's come up to where we always have a majority of those in the village that are there, despite the attraction of the trails, everything else. They go out and get back for that. But that is this type of thing, but not the playback, which would be most exciting, I think, to try to work, because it's another thing the program committee could work on.
Well, on the limiting the staff, which is a question that Elder brought up, it looks like they're limiting the number of people who are here, participants. I guess they'll limit it as they see fit, you know, when they get into trouble. And, I don't think we need a resolution on that, do we? You want to go on, Werner, please?
Well, the next part would be finances, and the finances, as this report takes it, breaks down the little review into village operations, which accounts for 50% of the total income. and gifts from individuals and organizations, which account for 33%, and synodic allocations, which at the present time is 17%. And here again, it just goes into a little bit more detail on each one of these areas. One interesting aspect is that the snack bar this year went over the $10,000 gross level for sort of a sidelight. It's sort of a major sidelight. And it's not inconceivable at all that next year, if we pay more attention to it and maybe stock a few more popular items and not run out of ice cream, that we could do it at $15,000. If we get into the tobacco business, we could probably go into $20,000. So maybe we should shut down the operation and just run the snack bar for a while. And then the gifts from individuals, of course, this is sort of the mainstay of the whole financial situation of the village. And a little breakdown by states as we have it as of April of this year.
It's on page 19.
Right.
It's interesting how the Wisconsin drops out of the first 5 years. No life takes place in it. Wisconsin, we haven't worked Wisconsin hard enough. So. Yeah, but Oregon's at least in the first five. Oregon's had real resistance here in our Senate, as well as the LC, and in yours it's had no attention. But there's been we explained this before at other meetings. So there's an Oregon-Washington tension, and then there's a deal, and that they are developing something of their own and so on. This will improve. In fact, just as one, I reported failure, so I should report success on Eugene, Oregon. Last, Ian just mentioned the fact that they had invested 3 weeks in an area and then end up with nothing. You know, except the Christmas offering for $530 from one parish. Well, this year, in 1 week, from this one particular congregation, which had spent 2 weeks, we had 15 up, pastors sent up, and several of these became founders. The promise of the caterpillar in 57, or 67 rather, and so on, and a real excitement about the whole program from this one particular area. So eventually, we get this kickback, see, so Oregon will come, but we do have to spend more time in it. That's why I want to get this Portland turn started.
Right. Again, in the synodical allocation, there's not too much to be said there, although it just lists what presently we are taking in. And the summary...
Excuse me, I have a question on these allocations. Does, as you list these, how does work camping fit into this thing?
Well, this is sort of separate, actually. Now, the Missouri Synod, I suppose it'll be the same this year, will pay for their work campers, and which should be, in a sense, listed, although in the past it's never been counted part of the allocation. In the ALC and LCA, they include the work campers within their allocation, or they pay nothing additional, but it's included in it.
See, that amounts to about a $2,000 item.
Right, yeah.
Right. We added this up before Elmer was here. Sat down and figured it all out.
But it's never been listed as part of the allocation when presenting the information. So.
I just wondered about the merits of that. If only
to offset this kind of imperative.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get some false conclusions. You're sort of low synod there in terms of the allocation.
You want to make that point clear that, Bill, that if they were on the same basis, is this true that the Missouri Synod would be five instead of three? Is that true?
Well, that's the question I was asking.
Is this right?
You're pretty close.
In the notes I have, in 64 is 1920, and estimated this year about 2,200. Now, this is an estimate. So I just, took an even point of about 2,000. Mm-hmm. So I would say it'd probably be about 5,000.
I have the
Larry and then Elder.
I have the latest on that, if yesterday is later than any information that you have. Elmer said that in the likelihood of the action that we took regarding work camps, that the Missouri Synod allocation next year would be 5,000.
In total.
Yeah.
Thank you, Larry. Joe, or no, Elden, pardon me.
Just a question about where these figures come from. Is there any request on the part of our board to the various church organizations for their allocations? That is, do we go to them with a budget figure ever, or do we just wait until they come to us with a figure?
You're talking about going, this board going to the Board of Beyond Fields work in the Missouri Synod, for instance?
Right.
Drop this off, but we would like some sort of pattern of over several years of working this up, so it isn't a matter of wanting to stop overnight.
No, nor is ours, but...
Do we have anything formal in this area from either one of the two groups? Maybe this is the wrong time to ask it, I don't know, but these are the words that you're bringing to us, that there will be some reduction in the year 1966, is that right?
1,000 from ALC.
1,000 reduction from ALC. I think the first, would you like to finish? Or, you know.
Well, just a reduction from the LCA at the moment, I don't think there will be any reduction. We adopted the same figure of the 7,500 this year at the Lutheran convention. So ours will be the same for next year. The wording of the motion which our executive committee adopted was that the Board of Holden Village be asked to provide the supporting Senate, you know, to suggest a possible pattern for making the amount smaller, you know, over a period of years, mm-hmm. in such a way that we can still maintain operations at the camp and try to get some way of helping the camp to become more self-sufficient as it continues to work.
So this is a suggestion on your part that this be looked at by this group, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
In this meeting, for instance, or?
Well, just at any time, you know, let it begin thinking about this, for example.
Your offer is because for next year, but as of next year, we should give them, like we're giving ALC now, they're mm-hmm. going down 1,000.
Yes. It's because I have to be fair that there are many people, especially in the Luther League at the moment, who do not feel that it is necessarily an international function of the League to support a camp which is so far away from so many of our constituent members, mm-hmm. Which has certain, I guess, legitimate claims to it. Mm-hmm. I can't agree all the way. But this is one of the reasons for such an action.
Okay, thank you. Joe, I think, was next, and then here. Or was it, what is it? Ken?
No, it wasn't.
Herb, and then Murph.
I think it's just a minor point, and I wonder if the youth department people wanted to say anything. The Brotherhood has had a small amount coming from our funds each year. It appears now that this will become a regular budget item with us, and it was argued that this maybe should be put under the synodical allocation rather than under organizations, because it's coming out of our ALC funds. In the past, it's come out of contingency. Is this permissible to move this money so it shows there rather than an outside organization? Because it doesn't give a clear picture now. In other words, you're actually getting $500 to $600.
$600.
From ALC.
In addition to the 10 that was shown here.
Yes.
I think you probably ought to talk on that for a moment, don't you think, Carol?
Yes, I think this would be a fair thing to do. I mean, just simply so that the Board of Trustees, if it ever comes around and taps the boys on the shoulder, it shows this is all, it protects them.
This is being made a part of our budget, not possibly.
See, up till now, they've given it out of other funds. Now they're giving it directly out of their budget-supported funds.
So they certainly deserve the listing here in the allocations.
And I'm sure that what they will do, they're going to say, well, now what control do you have over this? And of course, as long as Herb's on the board, that's their answer. If he weren't on the board, which is pure accident, he's not on the board because he represents Brotherhood, but because he represents the layman who really interested in this.
Merton, I think, just before you.
It seems to me that the decision of the two groups to phase out subsidies suggests a need for a policy decision here,
either the board is going to have to determine that within a certain period of time, Holden Village will be self-sufficient and that the phasing out can be part of our policy, or it seems to me we're going to have to say other groups must be requested for subsidies, and that the base then be broadened to more than the youth departments.
It's the second point of view that Ray made.
Don, I think.
Well, I think I'm talk the same language as Merton here. I'm in favor of recognition of the ALC Brotherhood as being a contributor. All right, because who knows, the Lutheran Layman's League may decide that this was a worthwhile.
But they're not on their synodical budget. They have a different.
All right. Well, just as an example. But I think as a consequence, if we are convinced that, Holden Village is going to have to be subsidized, if the youth departments begin a plan of withdrawal, and this is not picked up by any other segment of the, synods, we're going to have to get it from individuals or, change the program, or other organizations have to come into the operation of Holden and be given recognition if they are contributing beyond what the youth departments initially have had. In other words, I think this is an area that the youth of our synods must evaluate too.
This you expect, don't you? I mean, as you withdraw and if others pick up the tab, they would have to be represented on the board and representation be proportional, I believe. Wouldn't you? I mean, if ALC withdraws, they don't expect to remain in control on the board. If some other one picks up the tab, that they
I think this is probably
an end of the way. Bill, here.
Yeah, I think this discussion is real interesting. I frankly find very little that's imaginative about the financial report here. It seems to me that we're really talking about sort of peanuts anyway. In terms of dollars, not that we don't appreciate every dollar. But it seems to me that the Holden Village might be a good opportunity because of its unique structure, inter-synod for one thing, and the fact that it's unique, at least from our synod, and we have a board who appoints five people to be on this other board, you know, this kind of arrangement, that this board take a sharper look at how something like Holden Village could be financed so that we are not, in a sense, quote, the burden to the synod. In fact, maybe more of a blessing by pointing the way of how the whole program of the village can be supported outside of any sort of synodical support. And then all of the things that are good out of Holden become a gift primarily to the people of the synod who, you know, are the members of the board. And I think that everyone say, yeah, let's do it, and how? And I believe that if it's possible for this board, if it hasn't done it in the past, and the records don't show that to me, it's possible for this board to get a super finance committee of some sort, experts in the field of financing, and, you know, to tackle this. In addition to that, I believe that we have too long in the church, you know, made a dichotomy of our beliefs about how, quote, church work can be supported. We want to divide this and this. I don't believe that voluntary contributions, and we talk about that a lot, are necessarily more heavenly or spiritual than other kinds of support. I think it might be possible that the support for a program like Holden Village could well come out of some commercial ventures that might well be sponsored or funds obtained for these, perhaps out of collateral of the very, you know, assets of the village. Now here, I don't know the details. This is a committee we'd have to work out. In other words, it seems possible to obtain support, dollars, I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars year after year, by Christian people who are interested in either starting or continuing a business dedicated, whose profits are dedicated to this kind of support. Now, there are a lot of eyebrows, I'm sure, and all synods going to be raised at this kind of thing. But it seems like a logical thing for this kind of organization. There are many places in the synod where you would never want to start. My question is it possible for this unique kind of a situation to foster a real witness and demonstration, I think, to our churches, that the systems of the past are not necessarily the only ones or the best ones?
I may say I've written a letter just along these lines relating to one particular person, to Laverne Reiki, that if he felt were wise, he could continue it. A particular layman in the ALC who picks up the subsidy of the Overseas Brotherhood. He's kind of fed up with their operation, but he still pays it every month. Very excited interest about Holden Village, and he asked me specifically, how was I going, how were we supporting it? And I mentioned just this $100 a year, as long as we could continue it on this. But I did write him about it. He's Arnie Flotten's closest friend, and Arnie was up here, and they've talked about it. Arnie thought we should put him on the board, because we'd have nobody with money on this board, obviously. And he is a man who has a great deal of money and a number of funds. In fact, he's the one who got this gift of $1,750,000 for St. Olaf just now by readjusting some investments for the man himself who gave it. And he's an extremely able fellow. These are possibilities. I mean, there's no question about this, that this is a possibility that Bill brings up here. There are laymen who would be willing to dedicate a proportion, at least, of their corporation profits to a venture of this type, this sort of thing.
And I perhaps didn't make myself clear. I think there's a distinct possibility that actual commercial ventures could be established and staffed by Christian people who would devote, you know, this, and now we're talking, and I don't like the terms, but their secular occupation to this, but that the proceeds from whatever it would be would be for support of this type. Now, this is...
Excuse me, are you acquainted with the Iona Fellowship? You people, any of you? Iona, incidentally, receives a huge chunk of its money this way. 150 men give their total income to Iona and keep only that which they need for living. 600 contribute 10%, and another 6,000 give them a few dollars a year. This is the way Iona moves. But there you're into something else again. And then developing a third order. Catholics have been writing me on this, like Matt, because they're involved in it too. And there are a lot of things here. But this is another possibility.
Well, mine comes out of the stewardship of the assets. And I don't know what they are, and I don't, you know, it's too late to go into them tonight. But I would like to see, either now or tomorrow, and I'm not in much of a position to make a motion at the moment, but I would like to see some board action in getting some sort of a study underway at this point, not wait another year for this to happen. Because, as I say, there isn't a great amount of imagination. Maybe it's not supposed to come in the report, or maybe I don't read it, but I think it takes more. We're going to take more action than I have seen indicated here.
But now, what are you thinking of? I mean, like, you mean we're going to go into business? We're not going to sell anything.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm saying that it seems to me this board needs a study committee, either from itself or hopefully for some help, if you don't know about the people involved here, to get to work on this thing.
But what are the assets you're talking about? This is the thing that's confusing.
Well, I don't know. I was just saying, I don't know what they are. That's what I said.
I mean, we have no assets.
Well,
so we can become self-sufficient without subsidy from anything and anybody.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you want to cut off and then here we're getting, you know, what the answer is. I don't know if you want to cut off any of the synodic support, but at least it would be, you know, it could be very much. I mean, maybe we should be giving to the synods $20,500 to help them establish this kind of thing in synod. I mean, I'd turn it all the way around. And maybe Holden Village should be giving the synod back money.
But where would you get it from? I mean,
well,
this is the
next step, see.
Yeah, I'm sweating this out like, man, I'd be glad, Bill, for you to help me just to get your own boys involved, you see. I mean, Aaron's sitting right next to you, and I could tell you, we know just about how this sits. And it's hard to get this money.
Does someone want to speak on the two-way street here? I mean, the fact that this also allows Holden to call on the resources of the youth boards for its programming and so forth. You know, this wouldn't be true if we didn't have some way for him to get in. But Herb, go ahead and talk.
Well, I sort of I think there's been several things thrown out here today. One is this the lowering of the subsidies. And I don't think this means any lack of interest at all on the part of any of the synodical groups. Merely an expression by them of hope that we will use some of our imagination and gifts to try and finance ourselves in some different ways. And also, I mean, there's this whole thing that was thrown out before on the CUSA, whether this has any part of our thinking. I don't think we can discuss these things in a board meeting, but I think that these things very well may mean changes now in our long-range planning and thinking. And if we have a long-range plan, then you've got to be ready to revise it rather quickly. There's many ideas. We've talked about, you know, bringing people up. You know, we're not going to bring them up until they do $1,000. We talked originally about bringing them up before they gave $1,000. Some big givers. We haven't gone into any of these things for some good reasons.
But we have gone into.
But maybe the time is to explore some other areas that we might use.
Are you thinking in terms of a motion that might empower some group to look into it? Is this
do we have a long-range planning committee? I mean, we had a committee that was up in Boeing.
A comprehensive plan.
Comprehensive plan. Now, did we have a committee on that already functioning or not? Well, then I'd make a motion.
Let's let Peel refresh our memory.
Sure.
Peel said, what was the last word on that committee, Bill?
As I would interpret it, and I think Werner could correct me, this long-range comprehensive plan, or whatever you call it, was more or less the responsibility of Lloyd. Lloyd exists now within the framework of the Development Council, and the action of this board is that we receive this material as presented with thanks, and we encourage its consideration or something. You read in a minute, which just about means that we were afraid of it. I would suspect this is a good interpretation.
Lloyd, or Don, and then Carol.
I have just a question to ask Joel. Is the support which the ALC gives to Holden Village on this endeavor, is this quite unique? And I would have the same question for LCA and the same question for Missouri. Is your support from your budgets for this type of work, is this quite a unique departure from your normal procedures?
This is only possible because we've been able to establish to this point that we are not involved in the capital development of Holden.
For the program.
This in itself is quite a it's quite a thing to work out, and has always been looked on with a good deal of suspicion.
It's the only endeavor that you're supporting this way.
Pardon?
Only endeavor you are supporting this way, directly out of.
Yeah.
Except Lutheran Youth Research.
Lutheran Youth Research is a different kind of thing. Again, this is involving properties and so forth, which
you don't have the title to.
Is not really involved at all with our departmental.
Yeah, the answer is the same. The LCA has a policy against operations like this, that institutions that exist physically in geographic areas are to be sponsored or supported by the synods on which territory they reside. An exception was made in this case because when our new church was organized, we were committed for a two-year period to anything that predecessor bodies participated in. We just squeaked by the skin of our teeth last fall for continued financial participation, and it was done on three bases. First of all, the church was not in financial difficulty at the time. Number two, it was the only thing that we were doing cooperatively like this. And number three, it was the only significant thing that we were doing with young adults. Now, I think when we go back to them, which we will, a year from now asking about continued financial participation, it could be that all three of these reasons will have tumbled. And I just wanted to serve notice that although it would cause me personal grief, that it could very well be that when we go back to the Executive Council, because an exception has to be made for participation in something like this, we could get turned down cold and suddenly the whole amount would be severed. Now, we're going to work to see that this doesn't happen, but boy, I can't promise a thing.
Carol? Thank you, Carol, and then Werner, and then Bill. And
I'd rather hear them. I'd go on and hear them because...
Werner is next.
Well, I did want to make a point of clarification.
Oh, pardon me, Werner.
Pardon?
I think we had... Don has a
question
to hear
from Missouri. Or Walter.
Well, I can only tell you what I know of how it works. In our Senate, we have the Synodical Board for Young People's Work, and the allocation here is a part of that budget. And actually, as indicated by Larry, we plan to increase it to $5,000 next year. It's budgeted for that, not approved yet. We have to get synodical approval of this. We go to a subcommittee of a subcommittee of the church's finance. We submit this, and it is unique, I suppose. We're involved in LIR, and this kind of thing, but it's unique because this is an intersynodical thing. It is also becoming more unique to me because I guess as a member of the League and of BYPW, I always justified that I had always felt comfortable about it in terms of young adult and in terms of experimentation. And this is why I asked before, in the bylaws, getting broader, and now, for instance, he said, it's open to everyone. Someday we may be asked about this, how come? And that's why I was specific in my question before. At the moment, I don't think any serious questions have been asked. We pick it up as an item in the budget, and they have taken it as such.
No, I appreciate all these points.
I think Pastor is next.
Well, I would just say at this point that I have asked Elmer on this, and really Elmer's the only firm commitment we have. This is a strange thing, because he's stable in this thing, and he's assured in it. And I said, no, I'd welcome if he's playing full out. This was a year ago, because then I have to make some plans. And he said, no, we're with it for good. This is when it's question of LCA. And I think this is rather firm for him. Now, the surprise for me was ALC, and Dave was surprised, I was surprised, although he specifically said when I took this thing that my toughest year was going to be 67, 68, very likely, because initial enthusiasm runs down, these initial gifts, and to catch up and get going on. And I just mentioned to him that our comprehensive plan looked forward to the gradual withdrawal of the youth movements and their subsidy in the 70s. But like you pointed out, this had never been accepted. And as we ourselves have known on the board, in all fairness to all of us here, that the Articles of Incorporation and your involvement in this is no sacred thing for eternity, that there's no reason why you couldn't pull out, someone else come in, or someone else come in with you. And as we've mentioned at each board meeting, and as Laverne says in his own way, it takes me just a day to sit down and reincorporate this and write this in and have a different representation on the board. And this is, of course, our picture. So we are going to require subsidy. It's going to have to come from somewhere. Bill has an idea here, evidently, that I'm not catching yet, and I hope I do. Any place where there's money that I can give back to students, I'll be glad to do it. Short of a war of atomic dimensions, when this mine would be reopened, I don't see that happening. In case that happens, of course, you're all in, if you're alive, to get it. But as Joe says, he hates to see the day when we'd operate that mine for those purposes, and so would I. But this is the only asset I know we've got. But on the other hand, we do have other assets in that more and more of our synods are working very closely together. I mean, we're not the only people getting close, the family life, the welfare departments, and the evangelism department are all working closer and closer together in our three bodies, much more than the public is aware of. I think even the synodical authorities are aware, and all of them are aware of this, and also of their own particular programming involvement. I mean, they were already involved where they're involved. And that's why I say I'm not sweating, because nor is there really in the youth office a feeling of betraying us at all here, because if they withdraw, they're quite aware there are others who will come in.
Werner, I think, is the next speaker. And Joe, and then
Joe Fisher speaking.
Werner?
Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that this was not a proposal of what anyone is proposing, future financial a structure, but merely if we continue as we're going, this is the way that it will look, to emphasize the point that subsidy will be necessary the way we're operating. And I don't see any way, unless we take some drastic action to become self-sufficient, we will always need probably 50% of the budget from outside sources other than village operations. But it definitely was not a proposal for continuing on this basis. Hopefully we won't have to.
Joe Bash.
Well, I would want to say too, I want to reemphasize that that we are not withdrawing permanent next year. I mean, 67, we still have a fairly large sum. I'm sure that we're not interested in seeing the bullet ever go down, and would not, you know, be trying to just obviously leave the whole situation in March. I think too that we have never really been overly concerned to show this, but there are a lot of hidden things that have not been budgeted that Holden has received from KLC in terms of not just a few hundred dollars, but literally $4,000 or $5,000 a year have been over and above the allocation that we've promised to give. Mm-hmm. And beside this, other even the charities department has given some money. So I don't think really that this should be regarded as an unfriendly act or something like that.
Herb?
One point that came up before, and maybe again it's another thing for study, but I just wondered about it. You had said that we didn't want to get ever caught in the trap of having finances dictate to our program so that we remain experimental. We realized we needed subsidy. I hope that the membership of any participating group on this board, or the membership of anybody on this board, is not predicated upon the contribution that they make. For instance, should LCHC have to drop their $7,500 subsidy, if it was still available that their people could participate, I would feel strongly that even without this money from the Senate, their representation of their people, that they should be included in the board. And I think we should have this clearly in mind. There was some sort of inference here at several points that, well, if these people withdrew, there would be others that would come in and so forth. We've had an asset from the resources of all of the youth departments that far outweighs their financial in the type of talent and personnel they've given us. And to lose this in order to put somebody on the board who gave a little bit of cash might be a step in the wrong direction.
I would like to just say this, though, as I thoroughly agree with this on program. Whatever will happen in terms of ALC withdrawal or LCA withdrawal, the program will still remain a coordinated program with equal participation. This we never looked at. We never looked at the dollar sign on this. We never will. On the board, I think there is, however, an ethical question involved. I mean, they're just like, for instance, I think we just would have to say that for it to remain in the same number on the board with equal rights in forming decisions without contributing or taking the risk, it would be an impossibility for any other Senate to buy. I don't think they'd buy it. We wouldn't buy it. Our Senate, I know. I mean, our control. Right? I mean, that's part of it.
I don't know about some sort of equalization kind of thing, but I don't think we'd want to see it completely devolve just down to those who have the finances. I don't believe that we would be adverse to some representation.
Mr. Chairman,
because it has not been that way except for a year or so.
Yes, ma'am. Do I hear that a lot of us are interested in this because our churches are interested in it? Is this one of the driving forces why many people come here? Do you suppose? I mean, the pastor's sending them here. I'm thinking of Carol's remarks. Are we connected with this because our churches are connected with it? And is this going to turn around that maybe our churches will be connected with it because some of its constituency is? I mean, I wonder what comes first here, whether how important church involvement is that kids that hold it, how important the
program is most vital, Jack. I mean, there are the excitement of three different groups is always part of it, and especially in the work crews and in the factory.
It is important, then, that our churches are endorsing this, whether they do it with money or whether they do it with by written endorsement and membership in here. This is still important. Is that what we're hearing or not? Don, would you like to talk?
Yeah, I have. I want to express my own personal feelings on this to the various youth in here. I think that if we could insert in the minutes that we had a discussion on this. I personally am extremely grateful for what each of the segments has done, both in interest in the participation in programming, as Herb said, and whatever under the circumstances each one operates on, what they have done. I think that all three synods, as I see it, have done an admirable job. This was a venture, and I think that we should, as a board, extend our feelings on this matter of very sincere appreciation for what the various groups have done, and look forward, because I don't think tonight we're going to come to any conclusions, but that along these lines that we talk about reduction of subsidy, at the same time these men say we're going to go to bat and do what we can and move out on this basis, because really that's the only basis we have to operate on. But I think of what these various men have said, I just think it's wonderful what they have done.
Right. Pastor Lunder?
I feel, because we're a half an hour over time,
that's a good feeling.
And we're all tired, we're not sharp.
More coffee.
That we ought to get to bed so we be at least a little bright tomorrow. I'd like to go on with this subject and no doubt give some more thought to it, but I think we're past time where we are going to be effective in our thinking. At least I feel that way about me.
Well, I think everyone is. The coffee's getting to you, probably.
It's getting stronger.
Can we?
I think if you drink enough coffee, Mr. Chairman, you might stay awake. We won't be alert, but may I make a comment on this?
Right. One more minute.
Professional services, which I think we're rendering here, they do cost a great deal of money. And as much as I would like to subsidize programs, I also feel that the recipients of the service, you do them a service by charging the patient, so to speak, for the services that you render. And if we're going to have up here a tremendous service to offer, I don't think that we have to crawl under the table when we charge a fair fee for it. And I think right now our thinking is along the line that we've got to keep the cost down so people can get here. Now, I really feel that there is lots of money in this great land of ours. And maybe I get this because I deal in services that really cost money. But I know what people will pay for a service that they want. It's a matter of a sense of value. And as we do develop the program here at the village, we're going to have people getting bloody noses on the dock trying to get up here. They're going to fight to get here. And we must keep this in mind. I think the increase in number of people that we've had has been great. If we're going to have the quality of faculty here, we're going to be able to render service, and I think people are going to want to come here. And we shouldn't be too reluctant to charge a fee to the people coming here. Now, I can't go up to Harrison Hot Spring with my wife for a week for what I can come to this village. And yet, I think the services here are very comparable. We don't play golf here particularly. But we still receive a professional service from the quality of faculty and what have you that I have to pay roughly $100, you know, to go to an orthodontic meeting where we have one or two guys involved for two or three days. Now, to go to Harrison Hot Springs with my wife, I'm sure it's going to cost us $150. You know, by the time you add up a few little things. So, really, we ought to be able to charge a fair fee. Now, it's true that not all people that want this service can really pay it, but here we could set up a program for, so to speak, subsidizing. But, boy, well, people buy color television sets. I can't afford to buy a color television set. just that I have a different sense of value than the person that's going to put out the money. I'll pay to come to Holden, but I can't buy a color television set. I think we ought to look at these fees. For instance, we're giving this group rate, and you're getting down so much on this group rate that actually we might as well tell the people that come here, now you've paid us $50 for the week, but somebody else paid you $50 to get here. Now I'm too proud to come here for that $50 on that term. I'd rather pay my own way. And I think there's a lot of people that do it. People that come here ought to know that this service they're getting costs $100, because that's what it's going to cost us when we put this out on a good cost basis here. And there's nothing wrong with charging fees that are commensurate with the service. I mean, this is just what you do in business. And we ought to think in terms of that here.
Well, there are two speakers. Hinderly is first, Werner is second, Compton Pan is third, and Lunder is sleeping.
Our secretary is getting tired, well, too. She's had a long day.
This suggestion may wake us up and cause a little fire, but I would say it could be most good for our public relations all the way around. We said, okay, we lost $1,000 in subsidy. We have to increase our fees to make up that $1,000. And we go back to what we've had it 3 years ago. We didn't have any sweat in getting people on it then. That's it. It's $55 for the head of the family, and it'll have to be $43 for the wife, and we've already raised the kids. We've already raised them to $4. I'll raise your kids.
Thank you for that.
But I would say putting $5 on each one of the adults would be hit me, and at the same time, the group rate goes up also accordingly. And then we don't subsidize these charter flights. We put a lot of money in them last year, and we flop flat on our nose. We just drop it. And the charter flights, we don't subsidize, we put them on the railroad. If they don't like to ride the railroad, fine, they can pay the plane. But the railroad's got a decent fee and a nice deal, and we don't have any sweat with it at all. Frankly, I think they'll have to carry the charter flights anyway.
One thing probably that is quite evident, but our income from registrations has not gone up in proportion with the number of people that we've had up here. And the reason for this is that several years ago, people were coming primarily for a day, which is $11. If they come up for a week, it's only $7. If they come up for a week in groups, it's $5. So that per person, we're getting half as much as we were when they were coming up one day. So it's just not proportional. And this year, we had an average stay of almost 6 days. So
that's $5 a day.
Well, a little bit more than 2 grand, but.
Nobody's Don. Griping on the Don. Price, might I say. Nobody griped this year at all. Be sure of that.
I withdraw.
You withdraw. Lunder is next. Would you like to adjourn the meeting with a motion?
I think I would. I would move if we adjourn at this point.
I think that's fine. We'll continue this in the morning, and I hope you have some thoughts that are, put everything we've said together tomorrow morning.
I'll try and do that.